This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies We're Happy podcast for episode 18. I am Brian Cohn. Not here with me this week is Ally Lesher. At least she's not here yet. Unfortunately, we had a bit of a scheduling conflict for this week, so Ally and I are going back to our trademark move of splitting up the podcast but doing it together, doing it separately but doing it together. I will be doing my part first. Ally will be coming on at the end. And then we are doing the same thing for All-Stars, so don't worry about that. There'll be a separate podcast for All-Stars as well. So here I will talk about episode 18, getting set for the final, and then Ally will share her thoughts. I'm very curious to see if we end up as alike as we did the last time we did this. Hopefully we'll be together again next week for the finale, where we'll be crowning the winner or winners of Spies, Lies, and Allies. But until then, we got to figure out who the finalists are, and that's what episode 18, The Night of Eliminations, brought us, because that's exactly where we picked up where we left off last week, with TJ dropping the bomb on the remaining 10 players that their job is not done yet. We have the Night of Eliminations to go. So last week when I was on with Scally and Matt Ligori, we went through the possibilities of how this was going to play out. We started to go through what a vote would play out. And honestly, at the time, I didn't think it was going to be a vote. I was very surprised to see it play out like this. I figured it was going to be just a full on purge with the five remaining men, the five remaining women doing a challenge. And whoever was last was going to be eliminated. I was actually very surprised to see it just being kind of a pretty straightforward vote, because of also just how easily the vote was going to go. Like, I don't see if they wanted any drama, how they would do it this way, because obviously on the girls' end, Amanda was going to be voted in. And then on the guys' end, like, it seemed pretty obvious. I mean, I guess we kind of spec'd a little bit, but of course Emmanuel was going to be voted in. Obviously, there's some intrigue along the way, but I was very surprised that they did it by a vote. Just not a lot of drama there. I thought this would be at least a good point. A lot of the people this season didn't have to quote unquote earn their spot in a final of doing eliminations, and this would have been a good spot to do so. So I was a little surprised and kind of disappointed we didn't get it, but regardless, this is what the challenge does. They do this near the end, mix things up, and this is what we had. So in another weird twist, we had the votes happening separately, right? So the girls elimination happened first, and they were starting to go through the vote. Everyone votes for Amanda, and then we had obviously a very touching scene. Nelson, the truest of friend of them all, even with the writing on the wall, can't bring himself to vote for Amanda. He votes for a typical Tory, throws the vote her way, and brings Amanda to tears. I mean, Nelson's the guy. I mean, there's a lot of quote-unquote friendships that have developed through these shows, and a lot of them seem to be broken over the years, and some people can't be trustworthy. When Nelson says he's your ride or die, he is your ride or die. He will go into elimination for you. He will stick his neck out for you when even he knows you're going in and won't bring himself to vote for you. You saw how emotional it was for Amanda. That, I mean, Nelson knew that he, at that point, the guy's elimination was happening up next. He could have saved himself, you know, some ire, whatever the word is, about who he was going to vote for and vote for Amanda. I think he would have easily explained it to Amanda. I don't think she would have been hurt by it, knowing she was going in, but he still couldn't do it. Voted for Tori. and Amanda was voted in. And then she got to pick her opponent. This was probably the most interesting decision of the night of eliminations, where she used, obviously the clear choice would be just based on a physical prowess, physical specimen to go up against. You would think the choice would be clear, to be Nani. Just how well Emmy's performed in eliminations, I don't think you would want to go up against her. While she could get frazzled in the type of spot, you know, she's done this now 4 times, which is as many or more as some other people have done. So I can understand not wanting to go against her. And then obviously Casey, one of the strongest females, and it's not like Amanda has any beef with her, so that wouldn't really make sense. So the choice was Nani or Tori. And, you know, if you're choosing based off who you think you would have the best chance to win against, I mean, You go for Nani. But Amanda, kind of similar to Nelson, she is loyal. She does want to stay true to her friends. The one issue I would have is they didn't really do that great of a job all season of setting up Amanda and Nani as friends. This wasn't, you know, Ashley standing up there that clearly Amanda wouldn't pick. That was like a true friend. Like, I mean, Amanda and Nani, I feel like, had beef even just as recently as this season. So I just found that very odd that they wouldn't have at least built more into them as a friendship, as a storyline going into it. Obviously she has a beef with Tori and wanted to, you know, still does and wanted to take her out. But I would have thought with, you know, right on the verge of the finale that she would try to do the smarter thing. That's what Nelson wanted her to do. But look, I mean, she got a lot unlucky with the elimination choice. You know, if she was in the other one, she could have stood a much better chance. But, you know, alas, this is what she got. And so she went against Tori, and then they had to do elimination. But honestly, even before they started to do the elimination, I was surprised that they jumped right to it, because why on earth did this vote not happen for the guys right after? I couldn't believe that the girls' elimination played out. We lose Amanda, and then it goes to the guys' elimination. It didn't end up mattering, because Emmanuel went in pretty unanimously or close to unanimously, but like if this was a close vote and Nelson ended up being voted in or something like that, he would have gotten super screwed, because obviously Amanda would have been a clear vote for Nelson. There's no reason why they couldn't let everyone vote together, all 10 people. I don't know why Amanda lost her vote for the guys' elimination just by happen chance that the girls' elimination happened first. I was very relieved, at least, that the guys' elimination was not the same as the girls' elimination. But honestly, they should have just had the same elimination and just do votes simultaneously. Like, do the girls' vote, Amanda gets voted in, then do the guys' vote and have Emmanuel be voted in, and then they each pick their opponent. Very odd choice for the challenge to do it like this, but I mean, this is what they do. They get to these situations, then they do some parts of it good, some parts of it bad, and, you know, get to take the good with the bad. At least, the very least, the eliminations were different if you're going to do it like this, so the guys don't have like a huge advantage of knowing what the elimination is when picking their opponent. But obviously then the conspiracy theories come out. You know, we got a physical elimination to help Tori, puzzle elimination to help Devin, Patrick MS. A puzzle elimination, very convenient. Do you think the producers wanted to give Devin a chance to make it to a final? And like, this is what the challenge does. They put themselves in these positions where they open themselves up to this level of conspiracy. Like, I get wanting to have one elimination physical, one puzzle, but they keep it the chance. Like, have the women and men voted in, and then, like, I don't know, they flip a coin to determine who's playing which elimination. Like, I don't like that it was like preset and that no one knew, because then at the end it opens up to, like, obviously they would want the girl Tori to make a final with how much they have invested in her. And I mean, I don't think they necessarily cared about Devin and Emmanuel, but I mean, I'm sure they probably preferred to see Devin with, you know, how much more of a storyline he's had. So I just don't know why they opened themselves up to that level of criticism. All they had to do was, again, had the men and women each voted in. PJ says, okay, heads, you know, the girls are playing this one, tails, you're playing this one, and then the men are playing the other one, and then all these conspiracy theories go away. But that's not what they do. So here the girls play the more physical one, which was called Drone Drop, which is kind of a variation of like Balls In and some other type of elimination they had. It was basically a football drop from the sky, had to capture it, pick it up, and, you know, put it in your bin. Best 2 out of 3. I don't like that it was also a football, because it kind of bounces weird, so it adds even more luck into it, because on the first one, which is obviously the much more competitive round, the ball just happened to take a weird bounce and went towards Tori, so Amanda really didn't stand much of a chance from there. I mean, she put up a very good fight. We had the Tori, what are they calling it? The Amanda fanny pack situation of how Tori picked Amanda up in that situation in the first round to get the win. Impressive performance from Tori. I mean, look, she was a clear favorite to win this one. She should have dominated. The first one was much closer than I thought it would be, but that was Amanda showing a lot of heart. The second one, like, didn't really stand a chance. I think she put, you know, all her might into round one, and then that was basically it. So Tori was pretty easily able to take round two and move on. And then we get to very fascinating men's elimination. Emmanuel voted in. We see Casey struggling a little bit, but I mean, there was just no one really else out there. Obviously, they were going to go to CT in this spot, but that's either here or no there. And then Devin and Kyle and Nelson at least have enough friends. I thought Kyle could get some votes. I was actually surprised. I think he was the one male besides CT that didn't get any votes, which is actually surprising. So good for Kyle to kind of reintegrate himself into the house. But Emmanuel voted in, unknown about what elimination it was going to be. Tori yelling out to him, don't pick Devin. Anyone else? Not Devin. Manuel doesn't listen, picks Devin, and then good on the guys being like, Tori, there's only three other guys left, so who did you want to pick? Nelson's like, did you want to pick me? CT said the same thing. I would assume Tori probably would, I guess, rather him pick Nelson. I think, or Kyle, I don't know. She doesn't even have that good a relationship with either of them, but I mean, If she wants Emmanuel to stay in the house that bad, unfortunately, Devin probably is the best pick, all things being equal. And then they're playing the puzzle elimination. This one was called... I don't have it. I don't know what it's called. It was called puzzle elimination. Puzzle elimination for the final. That's what it was called. So, amazingly, Emmanuel actually does the first puzzle pretty quickly. Beats out Devin. Devin's struggling. And then when he gets to the second puzzle, the classic, you know, you have the nine squares. You have to put a number in each of them to get each row, column, diagonal, to add up to 15. This is where we get typical Tori helping out Emmanuel in this spot. Now, I understand Tori's dilemma. She's been hooking up with Emmanuel now for a couple weeks. She's had a friendship with Devin, so I can understand wanting to openly root for both of them, cheer for both of them, not wanting to see anyone lose. But to openly help Emmanuel, I thought was truly a mind-blowing move. To a guy that you've been hooking up with like 2 weeks over someone like Devin, who, I mean, the way they were acting towards each other, they must have had the deepest friendship of all time. So to not just cheer for him, which I think anyone can be fine with, if you're just, you know, it's in a hall brawl, you're cheering for Emmanuel or something like that, that's totally fine. But you're not giving Emmanuel like the secret code about how to beat Devin in a hall brawl situation. Here you are trying purposely to help Emmanuel win and thus help Devin lose, and Nelson and CT were all over it. The typical Tory nickname coming out full strong, and it's such a great nickname from Nelson, because first of all, alliteration always plays with nicknames, so that does very well. Typical Tory. It's very easy to say, flows off the tongue very easily. I don't even mess it up. Typical Tory. It's also not that mean. Like, it's not like an insult in a nickname, so that's a plus. There's no chance of being canceled with it, so typical Tory, that plays. And it could just be manipulated in so many other ways, what Tory's doing, whether she's being fake or she can then spin it to like, oh, look, I beasted the challenge. I'm typical Tori. Like, there's ways to then twist it to being a positive if Nelson and Tori kind of mend their fences. So it's an A-plus nickname. I think it has legs to stick if Nelson really plays his cards right. I think typical Tori could be a thing. So good on him. So Tori trying to help Emmanuel a lot. I don't know. It's also crazy that Emmanuel didn't win, or at least to finish the second puzzle as quickly as he could have. I mean, Tori was giving him the answer. He was saying, put five in the middle, and then you surround everything else to add up to 15. And it took Emmanuel a long time. Like, he was putting like a nine in the middle, it seemed like. I don't know if he couldn't hear her or what was going on. But Emmanuel was struggling with that. And then eventually Devin got his composure a little bit, solved the puzzle, ripped through the second one, seemingly in seconds. And then they were both struggling a little bit on the third one, but Devin was able to pull it out. And I totally agree with who asked this. Let's see. Becca said, I don't think I've ever rooted that hard for Devin the entire time he's been on my TV. Have we turned a new corner with him? Is he actually rootable now? So I don't know if he's fully rootable, but I definitely agree. I was pretty close to like cheering for him when he was winning that elimination. I don't know if it had to do with how anti-Tory I was in that moment with how she was acting towards him and towards Emmanuel, or if I felt I just wanted to see Devin in the final just based off how the season has gone. But I was very, very openly in my apartment rooting for Devin and trying to give him the answers as well. So I was very happy Devin won. Thought he deserved it. You know, he did his best to stay out of elimination all season. Couldn't do it here, but I mean, he got lucky, quote unquote, however you want to say it, with this elimination setup. So he was able to pull it out, and good for Devin to pull out the win. So we got our 8 finalists. TJ announces to them the 8 finalists, 4 men, 4 women. On the women's side, it's set up to be pretty interesting. I mean, I don't think none of them are like superstar competitors, finalists. Like, well, they're all pretty flawed. We see, obviously, Casey struggles with puzzles. Obviously, she's coming off the severe knee injury. So we'll have to see how that holds up. Tori also struggles with puzzles. Has made 1 final, did okay in it, did pretty good in it, but obviously has a 1. Nani, we know about her in finals and as a competitor, not the best. And Emmy, we've never seen her in this spot before, but you know, she gets frazzled pretty easily. I don't know how well her composure is going to be able to hold through it all, but it's pretty open. I mean, I think going into it, it would clearly set Casey and Tori ahead of the other two. I think it would be I would be more surprised if Nani pulled this off than Emmy, just because we've seen Nani do this before and has it done well. I mean, Emmy, we just don't know. She's more of the unknown. So maybe she's like an Amber B in this type of spot, and it's just going to totally surprise us, blow us away. I don't think it's likely, but I would say, yeah, Tori and Casey clearly 1-2. I guess you'll probably put Casey a little bit ahead, but I still think it is amazing that she's doing as well as she did after like major reconstructive on her knee and like leg surgery. I talked about this when we did our must lose draft before the season, that it came down to CT and Casey with the last 2 picks. And I think it was Matt who had the pick before me. He took CT, and I was thrilled because I thought I thought Casey would really struggle coming off this season. I mean, look at all like NFL running backs coming off a torn ACL, and it's usually like the second season that they return that they get their full strength. So if Casey could pull this out, with how maybe difficult, I mean, stuff to tell after the first part with how difficult the final is going to be, but if it's as difficult as the final normally is and she pulls this out, I mean, that would just be an incredible, incredible performance, and you know, shows where we are medically in the world that she's able to do this, that not even like, you know, the world-class athletes are getting this type of treatment, that you know, even minor class challenge athletes are getting this level of treatment after torn ACL. So it would be very impressive. And then the guy side, I mean, look, I've been beating this drum now for, I don't know, what seems like 3 months. I think I started this episode like 7 when I saw where this path was going. It is mind-boggling that CT was never thrown into elimination, never even, I mean, I don't think he was even relatively close ever to being throwing it into elimination. I mean, near the end, like Nelson mentioned his name, but that would require Nelson to win a daily, which obviously wasn't going to happen to throw him in. I mean, maybe in the beginning they were talking about getting out the winners, like it was sort of when they were like the Vet Alliance was breaking down. They were like, oh, let's get out the winners. And that was kind of how Ashley's name was popping up. But and look, CT is in a fantastic spot. He's obviously not in, you know, I'll get into it, but he's not in the lead right now. But it's, I don't even know how canon this first part of the final is. But like, it doesn't seem like anything's really truly counting time wise. So I don't know. I like, if CT is either not on the winning team or the not winning individual, it will be a monumental upset. Monumental if Devin, Kyle, or Nelson are able to dethrone him in this spot. I mean, you know, coming into the last season's final, I don't think a lot of people were as high on kind of CT's finals prowess as we probably should have been. Maybe part of it was just the unknown of Amber B, but I mean, if we knew, like, I think if this was a paired final, you put CT with literally anyone. I think if you put him with Emmy, with Nani, or obviously Tori or Casey, I think he still smokes it. I think he's just that good. He's just that physically gifted. His puzzle ability is just unbelievably good. It's crazy how good he is with all this stuff. And he's just, you know, he's this is now his 10th, 11th final, whatever it is. It's unbelievable. And it's, if he comes out of here, wins this one, wins back to back, I'll get into it near the end. But I think the debate of best of all time is very, very heated, very close. And if he ever does another season after this one, if he comes, even if he doesn't win this one, even if he somehow finishes second, or if it's a team thing and his team finishes second, if he comes back for next season or season 39 or whatever, and the cast doesn't make it their mission that every single male elimination, whatever it is, he's not thrown in, then that's on them. I mean, that's why, like, all the season when it was in the teams, I was never going to be that disappointed if Emerald didn't win, because they made it, they had the power to throw CT in many times. They never did. So, you know, this is on the entire cast. They all were hoping to hit the jackpot and run the final with him. It seems like his team, I guess, maybe did hit the jackpot with him on the team. It's to be determined, obviously, if that team stays together, but, you know, we'll have to see how it goes. I need to take a drink of water. I've been talking now for 20 minutes straight. I feel like I don't think I've talked 20 minutes straight in my entire life. So.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh my God, I took one of Sonny's toys, put it on the table in front of me just to give me something to look at, since I don't have anyone else's voice in my head. I just need to feel like I'm talking to someone. So this is kind of weird. So we obviously get the full montage of, you know, everyone, what they're playing for, what they want to do. They get the very natural scene of people walking up, Tori walking up to Nelson in a ice bath, you know, as one does, asking him what he wants to do with the money. He wants to open a salon for his mom, call it Medina's Pedicures and Manicures, to help her out after, you know, she's worked two jobs helping him out, wants to give back. Very, very nice scene. Obviously Emmy reflects on her journey as a rookie, 4 eliminations, cried a lot, but did all that. Nani and Casey reflect on their dating show history as what they've done this season. Very cute to see them together. The one weird thing was after the elimination, to get back to the house, it was just very odd that Devin totally forgot seemingly what happened with Tori. I guess if he lost the elimination, I feel like it would have been a lot different of a story. The fact that he won, he was able to, I guess, forget about it. Like, he was almost celebrating with Tori after he won. I don't know. I feel like if that was me, like, my close friend was trying to help her, like, 2-week fling, that, like, nothing was going to happen. I mean, they live in, like, across the planet from each other. Like, I don't think they're ever going to meet up after the season. And then the fact that she was openly trying to help my opponent win, like, to me, that's almost like unforgivable. And he forgave it within 2 minutes. So maybe he's a better man than me. I don't know. But yeah, so he forgot it. And we got, like, all their montages. But again, like I said, what they want to win. So. Tori again wants to win as a single, as she's now single. Maybe she's not. I don't know. She acted like she, I mean, she's, I keep saying she's single, but she was openly rooting for her 2-week boyfriend over her seemingly close friend. I don't know. Tori's a weird one. I would like to see Tori win just because I just think she's going to be part of this world so much. I think it'll be nice to have, like, another returnee female champ in the mix other than Ashley. Like, I just, it, like, with so many other ones are kind of not returning that much anymore, like Kara, Jen, I mean, Amber B's in the mix a little bit, but it's just, there's not a lot of returnee female champs, so it'd be nice to have one. And I think Tori would be that one, that she would stay here for a few times and maybe be trying to win another one. So I would like to see Tori win, but she makes it kind of difficult sometimes. So that's pretty much it, I think, before we get to the final. I had some questions, Paul. What were the other ones? Let's see. Stuart from the DDs asked, after, so two conflicting views here. First, Stuart says, after 2 seasons of the Skull Twist forcing players to win an elimination to make the final, how do you feel about 6 of the 8 finalists voiding elimination prior to this episode? Emmy won 4, Kyle won 2, Tori and Devin won to get in, but obviously CT, Nelson, Casey, and Nani never saw an elimination. And then Kristen says, what are your thoughts on the four of the eight finalists having never gone to the arena? What should they do to fix people coasting by? So is it an issue? Because we saw, obviously, the challenge tried to fix this for a couple seasons with the Red Skull twist. I think it was generally hated by most people. I think it took a lot of the strategy out of the game of people wanting to go elimination. To me, I don't think it's a problem. I think if you are able to avoid elimination, that's the name of the game. Like on all their shows, like on Big Brother, are people knocked because they were never on the block? I think, you know, if you get to the finale night and you're never on the block, I think that's like a huge point of why you should win, right? For Survivor, if you get to the end, you never had a vote against you. Again, I think that's a huge point for why you should win the show. So if you're able to avoid elimination, that's kudos to you, especially if they do season like on All Stars, that if you finish last, you go directly in. So it shows you never finished last, shows you have good relationships with everyone. Obviously, there's some people that might be carried along in seasons as like a goat to get to the end. But that's just the price of doing business on these reality competition shows. I mean, it's not like CT was a goat, obviously, to be brought to the end. Same with not Nelson and Casey. I mean, I guess you could say that about Nani, but Nani got there because, I mean, look, her team won a lot of dailies. So she earned her spot there, and she obviously had a good relationship. So she earned her spot there double. So to me, I don't think there's an issue. Would I like to see people get in to elimination? Sure, but I think avoiding eliminations is the name of the game. So I'm totally fine with it. Good for them for doing it. Devin tried to. Tori tried to. I think they would have been loved. They would have loved to not go in. So to me, it's not an issue. I really hope they don't bring back the Red Skull twist. Bring back the Gold Skull, I guess, if you want to see people not be thrown in constantly. I think that's more of an issue, right? People that are thrown in back-to-back-to-back episodes, stuff like that. If you want to bring back like the Gold Skull twist where you can't be voted in back-to-back times, all for that. But keep the Red Skulls out of it. I think that's it. So there's that. So we get to the final. TJ tells them, you know, the whole speech. You know, yeah, you competed in pairs. You competed in teams. You're doing this individually for now. And the for now is key because obviously by the end of the episode, that is no longer the case. So the first part of the final, the first part of the final, it really isn't a lot there because it's all leading to getting kind of how they broke down from pairs in the teams in the first place, right? It was all about who finished when to form their team. So the parts of the final, there was completing a puzzle. You had to jump out of a helicopter and go on like I don't even know what it was. It wasn't like a kickboard. I think it was motorized, just to get to the shore and start running up a mountain and then get to another puzzle. And then the last puzzle got you to where you're forming your teams. But again, like time didn't matter there. I don't think, you know, whether or not you finish first or eighth, I think at this point, once they form the teams, the times are kind of thrown out the window. I think now it's almost like the final has begun with these, what was the gold, or orange or purple teams. I think that's really where the final starts. So I'm okay with that. I mean, I wish the final was what the teams were just because we spent, I don't know, 8-9 episodes or so much of a focal point of Emerald wanting to keep their team together, CT trying to manipulate it to get Emmy on her team, on his team, because he wanted to run the final with her. Ruby never having won like a daily and wanted to see what they can do. I just think there was so much of the focal point and focus of people's strategy of what the teams were and all this stuff, and then just to kind of toss it out. I mean, it's not unexpected because, again, this is what the challenge does. They go for the unexpected rather than the storytelling of it all. So, again, it's not unexpected. It's disappointing. But, I mean, if you weren't expecting this, I mean, if the cast is expecting this, if the audience wasn't expecting this, I don't know what show you've been watching for the last, like, 5, 6, 7 years. So this is what it is. So our two teams, purple team and orange team, purple consisting of the four people that got there first in the first part of the final. Amazingly, Devin, good for him. He finished with that last puzzle first and got there. And then CT joins him, followed by Tori and Emmy. And then the four people that finished last, were on the orange team. Kyle, Nelson, Nani, and Casey. So obviously more of the puzzle focused team with Devin and CT. And I mean, it worked out that it was that two men and then two women got there. I really hope that MTV at least was smart enough to like say it had to be two and two, that like if Devin, CT, Nelson, and Torrey got there, that it was going to be them four on the team. I wouldn't put it past MTV to screw that up, but at the very least they got lucky that it was two and two. So they got that going for them. Any other notes from that first part of the final? I mean, not a classic Nani form, trying to, I mean, we had a great confessional from her being like, I want this more than ever. She sees CT finishing a puzzle. And it's like, oh, I'm going to copy his answer. I got him right next to me. I'm going to copy it. And she finishes last. I don't know how that's possible. How do you have the answer key next to you and you still finish last? That's Nani. I mean, there's good and the bad. Challenge wise has been a lot more bad, but that's what you get. So TJ tees up before we get to the second part of the final that you just don't want to finish last amongst these two teams, which is pretty obvious in a two team final. I feel like finishing last would not be beneficial, but TJ makes that very clear. So don't finish last. So the question obviously becomes, is it a purge type situation where, wherever at a certain point, whichever team's in last is fully eliminated? Is it going to be like kind of midway through the final next week and the two men and two women are going to do an elimination against each other? If it does, Nani versus Casey to see who gets knocked out in the final. Yikes. That's going to be very, very fascinating to see how that plays out. On the men's side, I mean, Kyle Nelson would be interesting. Devin and CT would be interesting. Tori Emmy would be interesting. But I mean, the headline there would be Nani and Casey having to knock out each other to reach the final stage of the final would be quite the bloodbath of elimination. So, yeah, so we'll see how it goes. It's kind of unclear about the next steps in the final. I would imagine it's probably an overnight thing if we're spending an entire episode next week. For this final, I don't think it's an hour. I think it's probably the typical hour and a half with the reunion the following week. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Obviously, CT, the clear favorite. I mean, I'm going to guess, this is my guess, that I think we're going to have individual winners. I think at whatever the point is, we lose the second place team. Either that team is then fully flushed out and eliminated, and then who are those four remaining compete individually against each other, or I would guess most likely is the team that's like, let's say finishes second at like the half hour mark, maybe a couple checkpoints in, maybe like near the overnight, they have to compete against each other, like within team, with one man, one woman being eliminated, so bringing us down to six. That would be my guess how it plays out. On the men's side, I don't think it really matters much. I'm pretty sure CT is going to smoke all this and pull out the win. But look, if anyone else wants to win, that would be pretty fascinating to see if they can beat them. On the women's side, again, I think it's probably between Tori and Casey. I feel like I'm more drawn to root for Tori, but I mean, Casey pulling it out would be pretty miraculous. So that would be cool to see. I think that's it. That's really the main stuff from the episode. Before, let's see, I wanted to talk about the CT versus Bananas of it all, but let's get to the segments first. So we got the challenge drinking game, probably a pretty short one this week, I imagine, from Kyle Picard. We had two mentions of so there were eight total, two mentions of the Veteran Alliance, one Kyle teeth showing, one prior season being mentioned, Casey talking about her injury, someone talking about their kids, Amanda. Oh, that was pretty sweet. I should have mentioned that also. Amanda being knocked out. That was very sad. And you know, TJ saying, going to go home and be the number one mom. It was heartwarming. It was very heartwarming. We love Amanda. I feel very bummed that she's not part of this final. I really wish she was in. I would have loved to see her compete, see what she could have done in a final, but sucks. One challenge merch, and two times. People talking about what they want to do with the money. Nelson with the salon. Casey wanting to help out her family. It's amazing. Like, I know $500,000 is not like life changing money, but I mean, Casey and Josh are two of the more vocal people on these shows about wanting to like give back to their family and do all this stuff. It's like they did just win $500,000. I mean, that's like a lot of money. Not that, I mean, I guess Josh's is now like 3-4 years ago and Casey's 2 or 3 years ago. I don't remember the exact time frame, but and it's still $500,000. It's a good amount of money. Taxes, $250, $300, whatever it might be after taxes. It's a pretty good chunk of change. But they still want to help out their family. Obviously, getting $1 million would help them a lot more. We got the DD. So obviously, coming into the finale, this is where we stand. Coming in, a lot of points tossed around this week because of the 8 people making the final. So I'll go through it. For Allie, she lost 3 points, 1 point each. Emmy, Nani, Nelson making the final. Gained a point for Emmanuel's elimination win. So that was a net of minus 2, but for the season, she's at 4.5 points. For Scally, he lost 1 point each from Devin and Tori making the final, and then lost an additional point from Devin and Tori for their elimination wins. He's at 9 total for the season. For Matt, he gained a point for Amanda's elimination loss, lost a point for CT's final appearance, and then for myself, I lost a point each for Casey and Kyle making the final. So individually, your boys up top, I had 20.5 points. Allie at 4.5 points. As a team, we're at 25. Matt Ligori, 16.5 points. Scally, 9 points. 9 points. Together, they're 25.5. So amazingly, here we are at the finale. Me and Allie, 25 points. Matt and Scally, 25.5 points. And again, just to recap for the finale, what the scoring system is. So there could be some eliminations, as I mentioned, how this might go. So it could change also. But let's say there's not, just a purge or something like that. For second place, you lose an additional point. And if you win, you lose 5 points. So obviously the big monkey wrench in the Matt and Scally team is CT. CT losing CT losing is a must for me and Allie to pull out this win. And then with KC, I have KC. Scally has Tori. That opens that up. It'll be very interesting. I mean, look, this is probably going to come down to who finishes second. I mean, if CT wins, and if Tori wins, we're going to win. If CT wins and KC wins, then it's going to come down to who finishes second. And if we each have someone that finishes second, then we're going to lose this by 0.5 point, which would be pretty soul crunching. But it's been quite a battle. Very close. Very, very close. And then a couple of the interesting challenge stats before then I get to my own mental breakdown between CT and Bananas that I want to just, I was rattling off in my head. I just thought I needed like a place to vent it out. I figured this is a good spot. So some good final finale or final challenge stats from our analytic department, which is at Challenge Stats. There have been 10 people or teams to make the final with 0 daily wins. Wes and Casey did it in Fresh Meat. Anissa and Brad did it in Duel 2. Emily and Ty did it in X's. Jenna in Bloodlines. Devin and Cheyenne in Rivals 3. Leroy in Vendettas. Kara and Marie in Final Reckoning. Kyle in Total Madness. Nani in Double Agents. And of course, Nelson this season. None of them have won the final. I think it would actually be truly unbelievable if Nelson, riding a 51 straight daily losing streak, pulls out a final win. I think that would be unbelievable, as unlikely as it might be, but pretty interesting stat there from our analytics team. The finals record from the people competing, CT is 4 of 9. So this is his 10th final. He's won 4 of them. Casey, Nani, Tori, and Kyle are 0 for 2 in finals. Devin and Nelson both 0-1, and obviously this is Emmy's first final. So no one other than CT has won before, which means we are getting a new first-time winner on the female side, which is great. Be very exciting to see. And yeah, that, those are the challenge. Oh, here's the last one I wanted to mention. Total house votes. The only person to get zero house votes all season was Nani. Tori had zero all season as well, but obviously got a vote here to be called down. And then with Nelson and Amanda tossing votes her way. So Nani did not get a vote all season, which again, you know, power to you. That goes to show, like, there's different ways to play this game. You can win dailies, win eliminations, or you can avoid getting votes. Avoiding getting votes is probably the easiest way to do it. So good for Nani to avoid getting votes. So then that's it. Before I close this out, there was a question that I was thinking about and I wanted to get to. Jesse Skolnick asks, if I was a betting man, I'd go all in on CT after the first part of the finale. If or when CT wins, he officially passes Bananas as the greatest challenge contestant of all time, right? Right? That's the question. Let me take a sip of water as I can't believe I've been talking for 40 minutes. I thought this would be 15 minutes. Here we are, 40 minutes in. I have a lot of thoughts about this. 1 second. I'm still here. Okay. Bananas or CT? So if CT loses, debate, doesn't matter. Bananas is still the go. If he wins, these are, I asked our analytics department for some additional stats, hoping to have them next week, but I did some own personal research and some personal memory. So if CT wins, that's what we have to go off, right? If he wins, this would give him 5 wins. Bananas is 7. Obviously, Bananas still has the edge there. Money wise, which I think is probably the least important stat, CT would, I mean, he would easily become the top money winner of all time, I think. I don't know if he actually would have more than Ashley, but he would well surpass Bananas in terms of money earned. But to me, that's just a product of challenge inflation. I mean, that's like if you use an argument to say that Cy Young is the best pitcher of all time because he has the most wins. It's a different era. Like, that's just not how challenge money is divvied out nowadays. I mean, Darrell won 4 seasons. I think he probably won like 50 grand between the 4 of them. So that's just not the way money is won. So to me, money earned, not that important. Some stats that are important. As I mentioned, this is CT's 10th final. Pencil B's 5th win. Bananas has made, let's see, did the count before, let me do it again. 1. This is a little Mike Francesa where I'm going to count it out as we're going through this. If you don't care about this, this is all I'm going to talk about for this of the podcast. You can keep skipping ahead to where Ali chums on. I probably won't be doing this for more than a few minutes, so you can jump ahead to Ali. But for Bananas finals, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 finals. So CT is now past Bananas in finals, 10-9. Bananas, as I've said, still has the finals win, 7-5. Unofficial daily elimination wins. Challenge stats were probably the more accurate information. This is off Challenge Wiki. Bananas, he has 62 daily wins, 24 elimination wins, but 10 wins to 14 losses. So under 500 in eliminations. CT, 55 daily wins, 11 elimination wins, or 11 eliminations, but 6 wins, 5 losses. Only 6-5. That's crazy that CT only has 11 eliminations, which again goes to show that people are just so scared of him, but he's actually not that great in eliminations, and that's where you should get him in. So CT has fewer elimination wins, but one better winning percentage in those eliminations. Now, I think where it gets super interesting is where you want to compare them head to head, right? So despite CT being in now his 10th final, Bananas in his 4th final, they have only competed against each other in 2 finals. I reran the numbers to double check this. They only did it twice. Rivals and Battle of the X's. And I stand by that. It was Rivals 2. Rivals 2 and Battle of the X's. Battle of the X's, Bananas, and Camilla beat CT and DM. And this was a big knock against CT because at this point, CT still hadn't won. And he was the reason why they lost that final. The CT and DM had the lead all the way. And then the last stretch climbing the mountain, CT was the one that gassed out. DM was the one trying to pull him up and encourage him to keep him going. And that's where Bananas and Camilla passed him. But CT redeemed himself Rivals 2 when him and Wes absolutely smoked Bananas and Frank. I think the show tried to make it seem closer than it was, but from all accounts, it was an absolute annihilation for CT's first win. So against each other in finals, they each have one win. And then amazingly also, in all their, you know, dozens of seasons doing the show, they've only competed against each other twice in eliminations. Two times. This one's all memory. I could easily be wrong on this. But based off memory, the only two times I can remember CT and Bananas going against each other directly in elimination. This is not kind of the CT's backpack situation or Bananas backpack situation, because technically that was Bananas versus Tyler elimination and CT was just thrown in as the mercenary. So just CT versus Bananas in elimination. They've only done two. They've each won one of them. No, I take that back. Bananas has won both of them. There is some controversy, though. One of them was the Rivals elimination, where there's rumors that Adam, CT's partner, may have thrown it to Bananas and Tyler. Nevertheless, Bananas and Tyler beat CT and Adam in that elimination. And then the only other time I think they competed against each other in elimination was Free Agents, again, the spot before the final. It was that series of puzzles, and Bananas beat them. So in head-to-head play, they have two finals against each other, with each of them winning one. Two eliminations against each other, Bananas winning two. It is as close as you can get to I think if you made an argument for each of them, I think I would declare you correct. I don't know how you pick one or the other. I think if obviously you're talking about more larger scale things like, you know, character and, you know, entertainment and maybe even fame, I think a lot of those point to CT. Obviously, Bananas has his show now, like outside of it, but I think CT is probably the more famous person. I don't know, because now with Bananas show, he's probably developing an audience. But CT obviously had the whole relationship with Diem, a lot more character and memorable moments from CT. Bananas never really had any of those. It is very close. If CT pulls this out, 5 wins, 7 wins, championships aren't the end all be all. I know a lot of people will say, oh, but Bananas won so many when it was the JEK dynasty and he had all of his friends. Well, he only won two of them with Kenny and Evan. Just his first two, won the island and what was the other one? Ruins. All the other five, Rivals, Battle of the X's, were pairs. Rivals 3 was a pair, Free Agents, and Total Madness. He won by himself. That's 3 pairs, 2 singles as a win. CT, he won Rivals 2 as a pair. He won Asian Champions individual. War of the Worlds 2 was a team. And Double Agents was a pair. And that will to be determined what Spies, Lies, and Allies actually is. I mean, it is incredibly, incredibly close. If CST pulls this out, I still think he might need one more to pull it, to give him the leg up. Because I think if he pulls this out, I say it's like a dead even. I think if, you know, it is like a dead even tie between between CT and Bananas is the GOAT. And I need like a first take level debate. I need people to write their thesis papers. I need the full analysis about who you want to give this one to, or this title to, because it would be incredibly close, just incredibly, incredibly close. And I swore when Bananas won his 7th title, he wins Total Madness. To me, I thought that was the wrap. Wins his 7th after, you know, 5, 6, 7 seasons of not having won before. CT at that point only had 3 titles. Didn't seem like I think CT got knocked out early of that season, so it seemed like he was near in the end. I think that was when he lost to Jay. So the fact that he's gonna be on the verge of winning back to back, which hasn't been done since Bananas did it, also in Rivals and Battle of the X's, that's when he won back to back. It's crazy that how close this is and how long I've been talking for by myself, 47 minutes. When Alex sees the timestamp of this, she's gonna be flabbergasted. So I'm gonna wrap things up now. We'll be back next week for the finale to see if CT is crowned for the 5th time and see which woman is crowned for the first time as challenge champ. You can subscribe to this at challenge. Nope. You can subscribe at robaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me on Twitter, CohenBryan_. Now you get to listen to what Ali has to say. I guarantee you it's going to be half the time that I'm talking for, and that's probably the right way. I don't know how I came across talking for 48 minutes. I am just absolutely, this is asinine that I've been talking with this long. So I'm going to stop doing it right now. Ali, over to you. Till then, have a good one.
Ryan, how the heck did you do 48 minutes on this episode without me? I'm grateful that you did, though. I'm Allie, and I'm back. Hey, everyone. I have missed you. I continue to miss Brian because here we are doing a solo podcast, which shouldn't happen. It certainly shouldn't happen when the final's starting, but we hope that you'll bear with us. But I am so happy to be back talking about the challenge, if only to myself. Thank you to everyone who's been patient with me being gone. I guess it's only been 1 week with a sub 2 weeks total, but basically my schedule has been insane. I have yet to go to sleep. Time check 6:30 in the morning, but here we are doing the podcast on 36 hours awake or whatever it's been. Who's counting? But I'm fueled by the challenge. So here we are to talk about it. I could promise you I will not be doing 48 minutes on this episode because while I liked it, it was like a special episode, quote unquote, right? It's got an asterisk. It was a purge, sort of. We'll talk about it. I'll talk about it. and then it was the beginning of a final, which felt a little unceremonious. Is that because I'm just not here talking to Brian, or did we all feel a little bit like the final just started? I don't know, kind of snuck up on me. I don't know. But we'll sort through it now, and then I'll listen to Brian for 48 minutes, and then I'll know how to feel about it. So I wasn't here last week, an awesome crossover with Scally and Matt and Brian. It's so funny how, like, just a few thoughts from that episode. It's so funny how, like, we have to invent a stat for CT because, like, we've lost track of, like, accolades to give him. And I know Brian had a lot to say about, I almost said Scally versus CT. That would be an interesting conversation, but Bananas versus CT. But, like, I'm not going to get excited about, oh, my God, CT's going to get two in a row. No. It is amazing that CT achieves a solo 55th win. I know Brian's tickled by this, coinciding with, like, Nelson's in the 50s of losses. I was ultimately disappointed, I think, with an Emmanuel versus Logan elimination. I mean, I actually liked the elimination. I think they should have done a more Big Brother thing, but that's in the past. But, you know, it's like the rookies just so got, right? Like, even the rookies who managed to survive, it just shows when you hang on to being the bottom of the alliance, your likelihood of returning is immensely increased, right? But your likelihood of winning is on the floor because, as you see last week and this week's episode, the veterans immediately turn on the rookies, and that's the name of the game. I just realized I can't, like, sneak a sip of water while Brian's here. So from the people that brought you yawning on the podcast comes drinking water with no one to fill the time. You're welcome, haters. So, okay, we find out agency's disbanded. The cells are disbanded. You've always had an individual vote. It's not quite an individual game, but you're going to have an individual vote. And you're compromising one woman, one man. Everyone's up for grabs into a straight elimination. When you tell me there's going to be a purge, like, I want to see everyone go down there. That's, like, I want, like, a day one level purge. Like, everyone's playing. Two people are going to lose. I don't care how they do it. This season just had no opportunities for people to go after CT, Casey, Tori, the people you don't want to see in elimination, the people you don't want to see in a final. So, you know, I would have liked, if we're going to do a purge and we could debate the fairness, quote unquote, of a purge, don't just make it a straight elimination again, where those people who can go, no one has a chance for safety, right? I'd rather everyone have to compete in a situation like this. But also there's no surprise. Like the people who were voted in, I wasn't surprised at all about. Patrick M said voting first doesn't seem like an honor. Did you catch Tory's death like a TJ? I actually do think voting first, like when Emmanuel won the elimination, so he gets to vote first. You can do a lot controlling the vote, especially when there's only 8 votes, by just being the first person to say a name, because then you're the person, as Devin demonstrates, he's the first person to say Emmanuel. Emmanuel stays mad at him. You know, you kind of set the tone. You can get who you want up, or you just, I guess that's not an honor. Jeez, I'm so tired. I'm sorry, everyone. It's a high risk, high reward. How about that? All right. Kaylin Glancy and Becca both kind of brought up this point. Why bring up rookies when voting for males, but no mention of it or loyalty in the women's voting? And Becca says later, it's so hypocritical to get mad at Tory because she's helping Emmanuel when they voted in Amanda over Emmy. I think Amanda handles this vote in with absolute grace. Like the fact that her vets, which she in her mind has been loyal to, turn on her and just let Emmy sit there is crazy. I mean, she doesn't even vote for Emmy, so I guess how mad can she be about it? But I knew it was going to be Amanda. I can't make sense of it, except that everyone's alliances and rules of fairness only serve them, right? When Tory later says, Nelson, you said my name first as a burn vote, so that gives me permission to jockey for you to go in, right? Like, no, it doesn't. Everyone knew Nelson's burn vote was just a pity vote for his friend Amanda. No one should be mad about him about it. Tory was never going in as a result, but she's going to stand on that all day. And it's honestly just, it's a frustrating when people do this, but it's reality TV, right? Everyone's got to have a reason. It's a loose reason, but they have a reason for doing something and they feel like they can just like brush it off as a result. But yeah, it's also interesting because Devin says like, I'm voting in Amanda because like who people want to go to the final with comes up. Like we've heard those conversations a lot. I'd rather run the final with Amanda, but they really have no idea. Like for all we know, they could be one winner, male or female. And then you'd rather go against Tory than Amanda. Like you really don't know. But I guess if they're playing the odds, then Devin made the right choice here. I really have to give it up for Emmy. And I know Brian already talked about this. We talked about it all season. One of my worst first picks. I think Emmy is still a worse first pick than Amber was, even though Amber won the season, right? Like Emmy at this stage is still a worse first pick without having won. It's just, I should have, nobody on the podcast thought it was a good pick. Like at least Amber B from Big Brother, people were like, oh yeah, like that makes sense. Everyone was like, did you see everybody else you could have chosen? That's, you know, that's fully on me. But so much credit to Emmy. They've called her rookie of the year, rookie of the season. It's 100% true. Absolutely incredible that she doesn't get a vote cast against her here, especially when she's been thrown into the elimination 100 times. So it's not like people are concerned about her carrying a grudge. She's already carrying the grudge. So really incredible. Weird editing thing here. Amanda in her confessional says, maybe they voted me in because they knew they could all beat me. Knowing that these are taped retroactively kind of felt like a little bit of a slip up there. I was like, oh, okay, Amanda's going to lose. They knew they could all beat me rather than they thought they could all beat me. Anyway, maybe I am going to do 48 minutes if I'm digging into such minutia here. I love Nelson giving like telepathy, like pick a rookie, pick a rookie, pick a rookie, pick a rookie. She picks Tory and look. I don't think picking Emmy is the move for her, right? I think even Nani says it. It's picking Nani. Similar size, similar athletic ability, probably similar puzzle ability, right? Like, you have to pick Nani here. That's someone you square up against. Picking Tory, insane choice. However, this is why you love Amanda, right? We love Amanda because she's going to go down there and she's going to make a stupid decision based on emotion, based on pride, based on ego. And then she's going to take it like a champ and like shake hands and go home. I was rooting for Amanda. I mean, I think what Mari originally pitched as like Amanda's pitch, I think about a lot. Great season for Amanda. She doesn't get a share we'll see in the future from TJ, but she does get a you're a nice person. I'd rather get I'll see you in the future. I hope to see you in the future. Then you're a nice person, but you know, who am I to say? But I think it was a great season for Amanda. And this pick is like, is she going to win the final if she makes the final? Probably not. So like, fucking, I love Amanda going out like this. And the challenge for the women's purge, I didn't mind. It was fine, right? Like, it's physical. The drone doesn't really add much, but it doesn't take away much. And look, you get to see these people just, like, really battle it out head-to-head. From the people who brought you the bananas backpack comms, the Amanda koala, the Amanda hipsit, I don't know, but something. It was pretty... Tori was epic. I think she feels like she has a lot more to prove than maybe I personally think she has to prove, but... It's nice to see her, the competitor we know her to be. Amanda puts up an amazing fight. You know, no shame in their game here. Then we get to the men, and the voting's a little bit weirder, right? Like, to me, Tori votes for Nelson again with the weak emphasis of, like, you said my name. It's really like she's not voting Devin, and she's not voting... She's not voting Manuel, and I don't think Nelson should be, like, so pressed about it. Devin turning on Manuel was surprising. I don't know why. To me, Emerald turning on Manuel was surprising. I really did think all the votes were just going to follow suit at Nelson. So, really, kudos to Nelson's social game here, because I always kind of thought he was on the outs in these situations, right? It's like the remnants of the Young Bucks, the Corey and Nelson alliance, and Corey made a lot of enemies this season, so I didn't really know how loyal people were to Nelson. So good for Nelson, good for the vets, I guess. But I didn't want to see Nelson go, but I was sad to see like all of Emerald just turn on Emmanuel on a dime, including Casey. And honestly, it's like her vote wouldn't have mattered, right? It was 2 Nelson, 6 Emmanuel, 1 Devin. No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, I think that's right. Yeah, that's 9 people. Sorry. Woo. Actually, it's interesting that Amanda doesn't get a vote in the men's, but the men get the vote in Amanda's. Anyway. So if Nelson... Actually, that's a great point. They should have all voted first. The leaving woman should have had a vote. But I digress. If Casey sent a burn vote to Nelson, and if Emmanuel voted correctly and put his vote on the same person Tori did, at best case scenario, it's a 5-4 vote. And then if Amanda gets a vote, she's voting for Emmanuel, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, very interesting that Emmanuel's going in for the second time in a night. If I were a statistician, I would say that that's never happened. Who knows? Every time Tori said, don't pick Devin, my eyes lodged in the back of my head. Emmanuel is his own person. He's not going to do your bidding. And it's objectively bad advice. Like, if he wants to pick Devin, he should pick Devin. However, Tori saying, don't pick Devin for Devin's sake, not for Emmanuel's sake. But it's results oriented because it ends up being a puzzle. But except for like CT, I think Emmanuel has the edge in an elimination, unless it's pole wrestle against Kyle and against Devin and against Nelson. But he loses to Devin on puzzles, so why not pick Nelson or Kyle? Like, he's not physically weaker than the other two people that he could have picked from. Like, he is stronger... The deficit between his puzzle ability and Devin's is much larger than the delta of physicality between him and Kyle or Nelson. So I just thought it was a big risk. And if it really was, I don't believe that it was like because Devin turned the vote on him. I think that was just something to say. I think he was like thinking physical and thinking he'll beat Devin. And he got caught. That's what happens, right? There are 3 puzzles. Patrick M has his tinfoil hat on, fair enough, and said a puzzle elimination. Very convenient. Do we think the producers want to give Devin a shot at the final? Honestly, I think the puzzle is there because they know the men's elimination was physical and that whoever won the men's elimination was probably likely to go in again based on just like odds of if you were the house vote and you won, you'd be the house vote again. You're on the outs. And we would imagine if Emmanuel did something physical again and then lost to Devin. I'd be out here being like, it's so unfair. I don't care if he had 5 hours in between sitting in the lair, which he didn't. That's like so unbelievably unfair to have a gassed out person have to do another physical thing. So I think that's why we get a puzzle. I don't think they like expected it to be Devin and wanted Devin to have a shot. But, you know, keep your tinfoil hat strong, baby. I don't mind it. I liked the three different puzzles. I liked that, like, you could have a strong skill set in one area and, like, catch up in another. I do think it's a little unfair because I don't know how popular that adds to 15 puzzle is in Romania. Maybe it is super popular, but I do feel like it's pretty, it's around a lot in one reality TV competition shows in the U.S. and in just like puzzles in the U.S. So did feel a little unbalanced. I was happy Tori helped him with that because it's like at least he had a shot. I also loved it was so epic of CT to try to help, knowing that that would also give the same answer to Manuel. And Devin's like, no, I can do this on my own. I don't need you, Uncle CT. So that was pretty cool moment, a pretty cool moment for Devin. And I liked how proud CT was for him. But I do think they should have given Emmanuel, both of them, like the number it adds to, like everything adds to 15. I feel like we normally see that. I think it's very difficult to start to not know your target number. And I snuck a sip again. Sorry, guys. Although Brian did tell me he had to drink water during the podcast so he didn't pass out. So maybe he also addressed this. Or maybe I blew up his spot and he did a lot smoother than me. I look forward to listening, if only for that. I did like that you couldn't see the puzzle, so the audience couldn't just help automatically. I thought that was like a fun twist. I hope they kind of keep going for that. One thing I surprised myself, I was actually found myself rooting for Devin. As much as I thought Emmanuel got screwed by his team, there was something about, maybe it was the edit, maybe it was what Devin was saying, that was just sort of like, oh, Devin's worked so hard, and now this elimination is like his bread and butter. Like, oh, like he's... I'm just starting to believe that he keeps telling us every week how much work he's put in, but I think we've seen it. Like, he's never lost focus on the game. He's been in it 100%. I'm not saying I want him to win the show, but I would have been disappointed to see him go, whereas Emmanuel, I think, had a great first run. I think what Devin says to him at the end, which is like, you'll be back time and time again, is 100% true, and not to say Emmanuel doesn't need the money. It was nice to see everyone sort of a home packages. But I do think, like, I was rooting for Devin. Sue me. I'm shocked. I always have a soft spot for Devin. It's like, it's my toxic trait. One of many. Add it to the list. But all right, your final eight, your finalists are Nelson, Emmy, Kyle, Nani, Casey, CT, Tori, and Devin. And if you had told me that that would be the final four of the season coming in, I wouldn't have picked Emmy first. I'll tell you that for free. But Kristen and Stuart both asked us, what are your thoughts of the final four of the eight finalists having never gone to the arena? What should they do to fix people coasting by? Look, I don't view it as coasting. I really do think it's strategy. I don't think you have to go to the arena to win out. That's a strategy, right? That's sort of like Emmy's world. But it's not the only strategy, and I'm glad we're away from the skulls. I'm glad you don't have to punch your ticket to the final. The one thing that I just wish would change, just like All-Stars, is like the loser of the challenge needs to be going into the elimination, and then the house vote needs to go in. I don't care what perk you give the winner or whatever, but or the winners pick a person from what I've always wanted, which I think was sort of fresh meat-ish, is not fresh meat. Oh my God. Free agents. Woo. Got there. Where it's like the bottom five people are picking from cards. The bottom five people in the challenge, the bottom four people in the challenge, let the winners pick from those four and then let the house vote someone in or vice versa. We have to get back to a place where people can scheme and plot to have someone go in against CT, against Bananas, against Tori, against whatever. Because in this formulation where you get to call out your revenge, your vendetta, you get to call out someone down. You get to call someone down. No one's going to vote CT in. And that's how we see him in the final. No one's going to vote Casey in, third final in a row. You know, it's like, I want those people to make finals, but I want them to scrap. I want to be able to see people like Devin be able to scheme and betray their friend CT because they know they can't beat him. And in this format, there's no real way or reason to do it, because he's going to just, you give him a reason and you're down there and you're losing to him 9 times out of 10, unless you're Jay. But I don't mind the 4 of the 8. I think all of these people did work, if not in the elimination and the challenge and the strategy, building relationships. I'm not mad at this final setting. Oh, it is so funny that it's Nani and Casey's both their third final. It's Casey's like third season. It's Nani's 1,000th season, both on their third final. One thing, again, maybe my tinfoil hat is on. They have this conversation about crossing the final and winning together. And at this point, the Cells have already been disbanded. So either this conversation happened before the Cells were disbanded, or they were tipped off to like a team final, or they expected a team final. So I thought that was pretty strange. All right, but let's talk about the final. Again, I feel like it was sort of like unceremonious, but they're doing a puzzle. They're going to a helicopter. They're going to jump out of the helicopter. Checkpoint, checkpoint, checkpoint. Okay, what we're seeing is an individual game, but we get a little unexpected wink and a nod from Tej. Fine. Again, I'd prefer to know what they're doing. Whatever. I love CT making a rookie mistake of not fixing his puzzle, and Nani being like, I'm going to cheat. She still came in last, but she did give us a great confessional explaining it. So the order of the first puzzle finish is CT, Tori, Nelson, Devin, Casey, Kyle, Emmy, and Nani, that dreaded American flag chip on the floor for Emmy. Nelson is like, has this chip on his shoulder of like, people are saying I'm not good at puzzles, third place. I don't think anything about Nelson in puzzles. I'm sure you could cut clip after clip of me saying it on this podcast, but I didn't know Nelson had a reputation either way. News to me. I am wondering, this is the same thing when Leroy and Cam were in a final together. For any new listeners, they were a great couple, still are a great couple of challengers. And I am interested to see Casey and Nani's dynamic. It looks like, at least in the first instance, Casey takes off and leaves Nani there and doesn't go to help her with the puzzle. So they've probably made like an agreement of like, we just go in, and if we could help each other from the same team, whatever. But if not, fine. It would have been very interesting to see if later, when they split into the cells, if Casey got there in the Emmy spot, right? And so it's the Tori spot's already taken. There's only one other spot. If Casey would have chosen to not be with the two stronger seeming men, right? The two top finishing men in Devin and CT, to be with Nani, or if she would have left Nani in her dust. I was kind of hoping Casey would finish so we could see that. Alas, we didn't. Maybe it's for the best, because we ship Nani and Casey here. In this house, we ship Nani and Casey. But okay, Nelson showing great stuff here, coming out in front, but I am a little worried about Nelson gassing out too early. There's sort of like seemingly no advantage to being so far out in front. Like, the helicopters leave staggered, but like getting to the helicopter is just like, then you're waiting, right? Like getting to the cell and you're waiting. So we'll keep an eye on Nelson. I love the split up into the cells. I don't know what's going to happen when TJ says you don't want your cell to come in last. Is that because there's going to be a huge lop off and we're only going to have 4 people in the last part of the final? Or is that because they're going to finish in these cells? I very much worry if they're going to finish in these cells that we are going to have a finish like last season where just nobody could touch CT and Amber, because my God, the way these cells fell, for it to be Devin. I mean, the only issue with this team is if Devin can't keep up in the sprinting, because it's Devin, CT, Tori and Emmy, and then it's Nelson, Kyle, Nani and Casey. I'm no statistician here, but I would put all of my money on purple, which we're going to call amethyst. Why garnet and amethyst? Like, why do we forget gems here, Tej? Orange diamond and purple diamond? I don't know her. So we'll see. Yeah, so we're going to see what happens. That I know our great DDs have put together incredible odds and numbers about how much I suck at my picks. I'm just kidding. That Brian broke down. I want to talk about them next week with Brian, too. But I have Emmy, Nani, and Nelson remaining. I have the most people left. But if you're going to pick people, like, I'd rather have the three of them than CT, which Matt has. We'll see how it shakes out, especially with the teams. But if I have one person on the winning team and Nani and us on the losing team, again, who knows? It's not looking good for us, but I still feel like those are valid picks. Some people got lucky. Some people maybe cheated. We don't know. We can't say. Who am I to say? Sarah said, with the Challenge 37 coming to an end, can you name all 36 people competed on the season, or how many of the 36 can you name? I could name the 8 finalists. I know that because I wrote them from memory in my notes. So that's 8. Let's see. Fessy, Josh, Amber, Ed, Lauren, the British woman, Nam, Natalie. Was this season with Natalie? I don't know. Maybe not Natalie. Michaela, Michelle, Tommy. I'm up to like 12. Corey Lay, Huey, Ashley. Is this so boring? Amanda, Logan. Let's see. I'm trying to think like who were paired up in early eliminations, who were pairs early. I won't do this for much longer. I'm just going to like think on it for a few minutes. I'm like, who are parents? Who talked about being parents? Corey, there you go. Got one more in. I'm definitely missing like all of the people who are recently eliminated, but whatever. I can name enough. How about that? It's a fun question. I think if someone was here to check me, it would be more fun. The perks of having two people on a podcast. I think that's going to just take me to the end. Just coming in right at 30 minutes here. Brian did all of our fun stuff. God help us. We will be back next week. We won't let it happen again. Just really thank that. First of all, thanks to Brian, who couldn't be more flexible and allows us to do shit like this and get subs and waits until 10 p.m. on a Friday night to try to record and then hears that we can't. And then I wouldn't be able to be doing this podcast anymore if Brian wasn't so flexible. And I do not return the flexibility in the slightest. So all I can do is return with thanks and sincere appreciation. And then also to the listeners, because this is insane. We're going into the finale. Brian and I haven't spoken about it. It's 7 a.m. I haven't slept. I'm here. Who knows what I'm saying? But I really, really love doing this. And I love that you guys just get the vibe, you know, vibe check. You all pass the vibe check. But we don't do this lightly. And we don't think this is like a good thing. So it's a necessary evil. We hope it's fun. It's maybe a little longer than it would have been if that's helpful. And if not, put it on 3X. You're not missing much. So we'll be back next week. You could follow me at Lash Tweets. You can follow you can follow Brian at Cohen Brian _. That's not the time. This, I just don't normally do this. I was on another podcast. If you want to hear me insanely tired, you could go to the Pretty Good Curb podcast hosted by Av and Alexander Chester. I was on talking about the last episode of Curb. It was a ton of fun. And maybe one day NGOG will be back, but you could catch up at anchor.fm/newgirloldguy. We will be back next week to, I think, bring this baby home. See how this wraps up. Are we going to cells? Are we going to individuals? Is CT going to get the coveted second win in a row? I can't wait to see. We'll see you next week.